In Father Teresa's Wine Cellar, we believe all oppression is intersectional. And this means our analysis of current events frequently includes discussion of difficult and explicit content. Any combination of the following topics could be included in our show: murder, rape, war, climate change, racism, sexism, violence, sexual violence, homophobic violence, heterocentrism, discrimination and abuse against individuals of nonconformist sexuality, domestic violence, child abuse, child rape, child neglect, elderly abuse, verbal abuse, police brutality, microaggressions, ableism, cyberbullying, genital mutilation, ideological extremism, and people just being total fucking assholes.
All right, welcome to the Wine Cellar. We have news, we have comments, we're going to do some stuff. I don't think we have a theme of the night yet, but, you know, we'll figure it out. We're tangential, that's just what the fuck we do. But to start off with, I wanted to cover this particular story. This is on NBCNews.com, and I wanted to cover it because I haven't really seen it getting much traction. Today's what, like the 17th, I think? 16th?
The 18th is almost over.
18th. Yeah, this is actually from a couple days ago, and I haven't seen it getting much traction at all, even in lefty circles, so I wanted to talk about it, because important shit. A man in New York was arrested because he wanted to start a racial civil war. Seems like something that maybe we should be talking about, these fucking white domestic terrorists. Alright, a New York man who officials say aimed to carry out a racial civil war was arrested with a second man after they bought guns without serial numbers from undercover agents, according to documents filed in federal court on Wednesday. The men, Joseph Miner, age 29, and Daniel, J-O-U, how would you say that? Jow? Jew? Joe? J-O-U?
Jew? No, Joe.
Joe?
The fuck?
I don't know. It's just fucking
the fuck do they, what do they look like?
I don't know. They don't have their pit. They don't have the mugshots up yet.
Right now, now I'm thinking like them. Like, well, what race is he? That's how I'll classify this person.
Well, let's see. Let me just Google his name and see the arrest. Do they have mugshots up?
Dr. Mo's in the comments section and think he might be white. Confirmed.
He looks white based on his picture. Like, I would not peg this to be a person of color of any sort.
Oh, yeah.
So.
Yeah, it's, that's a Hutchinson.
Hutchinson? No, his name is Joe. scroll back up and find my article. Right. So, Joseph Miner, 29, and Daniel Joe, age 40. Like, you're a grown-ass adult and this is what the fuck you're doing. You're trying to start a civil war. Really? All right. So the men who are from Queens purchased handguns and shotguns that had cleaned off serial numbers, according to documents filed in New York's Eastern District Court. Miner also bought a ghost AR with a silencer, an assault-style rifle assembled from parts without identifying markings, the documents say. The pair were arrested last Tuesday night. The men, who appeared in court via teleconference, via teleconference Wednesday. They now face charges of illegal possession of firearms, according to the U.S. Attorney's Office. I mean, yeah, technically they did have illegal firearms, but you think they would charge them for more than that? Because they were trying to start a civil war, like domestic terrorism or something, maybe? The fuck? All right, so court records did not list lawyers for them, and it wasn't clear if they entered a plea during their arraignment Wednesday. Investigators were alerted to Miner after seeing posts on Instagram from last year in which he appraised an attack on a synagogue in Muncie, New York, and posted photos of himself giving a Nazi salute. I'm glad they're fucking telling on themselves. That's all I can say about that. He also allegedly, quote, fantasized about martyring himself in a blaze of glory. Well, you made it far, kid. In another social media post, Miner said he wanted assault weapons and other guns for boogaloo purposes. Have you been hearing that term a lot lately? I've been seeing it a lot lately. Boogaloo?
No, I'm no. Yeah. But Twitter's more active.
Yes. So boogaloo is like they're like sort of like an offshoot of like the white nationalists, like 3%ers and, you know, like those type of people. But they want to start a race war. So they don't just want to like have a white ethno state. They want to like go through the process of having a really violent civil war first. And then, you know, whatever. I guess they get to be the fucking heroes or whatever. So he said he wanted guns for Boogaloo purposes, according to court documents. Officials say earlier this year, Miner bought body armor emblazoned with Nazi symbols and a tactical helmet. Because you should be able to buy that type of shit online, really. During a meeting Tuesday with an undercover agent in Queens, Miner and Joe bought the cleaned-off guns as well as a Colt assault rifle with a silencer, more than 200 rounds of ammunition, and high-capacity magazines. So yeah, I just wanted to cover that to be like, hey, just so everyone knows what the fuck is going on, because it's really not getting a lot of traction, and I feel like maybe that one should be, you know. Mm-hmm. All right. What else do we have going on here? I have so many tabs. I have so many choices. I need the McDonald's theme that... Da-da-da-da-da. I'm loving it. A woman in Oklahoma City has shot up a McDonald's. Why the fuck not? Police have identified a single suspect, Gloricia Woody, who was forced out of the restaurant by employees. Reports say Woody re-entered the restaurant and punched an employee who sustained a head injury, and Woody then fired 3 rounds from a handgun inside the restaurant. One employee was hit in the arm, another employee was hit with shrapnel in the neck, and a third employee was hit with shrapnel in the side. All 3 employees were taken to a local hospital with non-life-threatening injuries. Woody was found a few blocks south of the McDonald's and then taken into custody. 2 of the employees of a McDonald's in Southwest Oklahoma... Oh, wait, is this the same? That's fucking weird. All right, so halfway through the story, they have another paragraph that sounds like the intro paragraph. 2 employees of a McDonald's in Southwest Oklahoma City were shot and 2 were injured Wednesday evening, according to police. Police say a woman became upset when she learned the dining room was closed for coronavirus precautions. Police say the woman refused to leave and then a physical altercation ensued. Police say the woman left the restaurant but then returned with a gun and fired 3 rounds inside. Police at the scene also said a female employee was assaulted by the suspect and sustained injuries from hitting her head on dining room furniture. Out of the 4 employees who were injured, 3 were taken to a hospital, but all are expected to be okay. So, yeah, that's what the fuck is going on there. People just shooting up places because they can't fucking get a McDouble, which is... A Big Mac is not that serious, people. It's really not. I'm just saying. Ugh. Mm-hmm. Damn, sinuses. Oh, were you gonna...
Oh, no, I'm just checking things.
Okay.
Yeah, now there's more things to check.
There are more things to check. Yeah, sorry for the awkward silence. I had, like, some sinus issues there for a second. And then I have an update about the Tyreek Hudson murder case. I thought I had. Aha. Uh-huh. So this is an old article. This is on the Baltimore Sun. This is actually from 2019. So this is last year. And this is just a little bit about the case. I'm not going to read the whole article. But they are talking about the man who killed Mr. Hudson. Right. And so neighbors would notice him muttering to himself and searching in the dumpster. He carried a ring of keys on his hip and would curse angrily if he fumbled for one. His front door was often cracked open so he could spy out to look at neighbors. But nobody saw what was coming next because he was a white man and got all the benefits of the doubt. So James Verombeck, age 53, blasted a shotgun into the chest of a young software engineer who lived upstairs. Verombeck, who is a grounds worker for Anne Arundel County Schools, because this is the type of guy you want working for the school district.
And Anne Arundel, remember the...
yes, the rapist cop story.
Yes, from, mm-hmm. For Amy Brown Cruz and the cop Christian.
Yep. Yeah, so we already have, like, a bad sort of, like, view of Anne Arundel County. But yeah, so apparently the guy who was weird works for the school district, because that's fucking fine. At a bail hearing, pretrial services said he suffered from schizophrenia, despite him giving a confession. Yes. But still, questions haunt these neighbors. They gathered Thursday afternoon and wondered what the awful fate brought these two together. A 22-year-old engineering whiz recruited to work for Northrop Grumman, and a 53-year-old maintenance worker with a history of threats. Now see, a history of threats, cussing out the neighbors, like, peeking out his door to spy on people, but nobody, like, felt a need to report anything. That's that fucking white privilege shit, because that's fucking creepy behavior. I would report somebody if I lived in an apartment building and they behaved like that. Just saying. I'd fucking report them.
That's why I hate apartments.
It's a very legitimate reason to hate apartments.
And also, you can report them, but then the pigs will show up and just be like, oh, that's my cousin.
Right, exactly.
He all right. Just give him some scratch tickets and beef jerky. He's oof. All right.
Oof. And then they have a lot about Tyreek, which I'm not going to read it all because it's one of those, like, it's an article, but it's also like, here's like a whole 10 paragraphs about this person's life story and how they went to college. And I think I'm mostly skipping it because it's irritating me, because it's like striking me as being a little too respectable of like, oh, he went to college and he was really good and got a great job and had his own apartment and young black man making it in the world. And I just hate that framing. I just hate that framing.
Yeah, like, that's the thing. Like, so many fucking, good liberals. Oh, good Democrat liberals. If I would have got hit by the pigs before my mid-20s,
yeah,
then it just would have been fucking, oh, rapper that had homophobic punchlines got what he had coming.
Yeah, pretty much.
Piece of shit, super predator.
Yep.
Right? Yeah, if I would have been one day before starting the podcast, yeah.
Yep.
No, now I matter.
Well, you're respectable now.
Yeah, look at the fucking sweater. But then I tell, oh, but I got it at Goodwill. Oh, fuck, he doesn't matter again.
Fuck this guy, man.
He's fucking poor. He got his sweater at the Goodwills.
Mm-hmm. But now what is interesting in this article as it goes on, they talk about Ann Salter, who is Verombeck's ex-wife, because as is usual with a lot of these men, before they actually go out and kill someone, they have a history of domestic violence against, like, female partners or women in their family, right? So Ann Salter says that she was scared for her life after she left her marriage with Verombeck. She said they met at a party in 2006. He seemed sweet, and they married later that year, but then everything changed. She says, quote, as soon as we got married, it was like night and day. It was like I was the enemy and he was coming for me. She had two children from a previous relationship. When her son left the faucet running in the bathroom, she said Verombeck erupted. His punishments didn't fit the crime. He would get mad and not talk, but look at you like he wanted to kill you.
Hey, even using the word crime.
Yeah.
Crime?
Really?
Oh, yeah, that faucet.
You know.
That got felonious faucets.
Yes. The outburst escalated, though they never became violent. Sometimes he would be silent for hours. Salter said she felt intimidated. I didn't want my kids growing up feeling like they were walking on eggshells, so she filed for divorce after a year and a half, but he asked her to go to marriage counseling. Only later, she found that he was on dating websites, and even though he begged her to continue counseling, she called it off. An Anne Arundel judge granted their divorce in March of 2010, but he continued driving past her house. Salter said she would often spot him in her rearview mirror. He would follow her to work in her children's daycare. Worried, she headed for a police station. She said, I thought he was going to kill me in front of my kids. A county judge granted her a protective order, but Verombeck violated it right away. It was May 2010 when a warrant was issued for his arrest. Let me just run that back. So they got divorced officially in March, and by May, he was violating the restraining order. Yeah. All right. Salter felt the protective order saved her life and her children. She told the court she didn't want him jailed. Really? After all that? Fuck, man. He promised to stay away. Months went by, then years. But in February, when Tyreek Hudson was taking out the trash, he noticed someone watching him about 10 a.m. on February 16th. Hudson would describe the encounter in his own request for court protection. When he stepped in the hallway, Verombeck was waiting. You knew this day was coming, Verombeck told him. You knew what you did. Hudson said to the judge, I didn't... Right, yeah, it's just a white man in the hallway saying you knew this day was coming. Nigga, what the fuck?
He's a nigga watching too many fucking I Know What You Did Last Summer. Quit watching movies, white man.
He says Vorombeck drew his thumb across his neck, making a death gesture. Moments afterward, he called 911.
Even that, I'm visualizing this shit as you're saying it.
Yeah.
So they're saying these fucking cheesy late 90s movie lines.
Yeah.
And then doing the finger across the neck thing.
Yes.
This is that Warner Brothers motherfucker. Fuck that. Bury that nigga in a Bugs Bunny costume. Fuck that.
The same day, Tyreek
cuts... Damn it. It's... our. Well, bye, YouTube. You're going to get deleted.
The same day, Tyreek Hudson filled out papers for a peace order. 3 days later, he walked into a Glen Burnie courtroom for a hearing. The judge was Devi Patterson Russell, who 2 months earlier had left a bench in Baltimore. Why are there so many extra details?
Did we cover Devi Patterson Russell's name, too?
I don't think so.
Fuck, that sounds familiar.
That sounds really...
Yeah, and dancing it back about 10 minutes, looking at Dr. Mo in the comments section from a previous story, pointed out someone's age, 29, mm-hmm. and said everyone wants to pretend it's just boomers who are racist white supremacists.
Yep.
Shaking my damn head.
Yep.
As opposed to my darn head.
Well, you know. What the fuck? Oh, James Rombeck. Okay. Sorry, I had to scroll back up to find something, because there's a sentence in here that doesn't make sense, but scrolling back up didn't help me. All right. Let's see. Where did it go? Okay, so, Hudson recounted their tense meeting in the apartment hallway. The judge asked what started this friction. Hudson said, "I'm trying to figure it out. This was our first encounter." Vorombeck said, "Your Honor, I found out he was taping me in my home. He put a hidden camera in my apartment." Why the fuck would... And what? No, what? All right. So the guy who... this, and then, mind you, this is the guy who killed Hudson, said he put a hidden camera in my home. What? All right. The judge said, "How do you know he was watching you?" And Vorombeck said he would know because he could hear Hudson walking above him in the apartment. Yes, you can sometimes hear the footsteps of the person who lives above you in an apartment.
I'm not gonna... I've been so caught up in engineering, I don't really know the story.
Oh.
Like, I'll be playing back the... Is this a white man killed a black man? It's a racist murder?
Yeah.
So this is not the lynching story.
No, this is a different one.
Before or after?
Before. This is from last year.
Holy... Oh, and
but
like,
this is like an update of the...
Oh.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. He said, "I'm in my apartment. I put on an adult DVD and I hear him walk across the living room."
Did he just say adult DVD?
Yes, he did.
He just had to put that detail in there.
He did.
Like, now we have to know that.
We have to know
like,
that.
Like, after you walked in the room and shook everyone's hand.
Vorombeck...
Actually, no, it's coronial times.
It is coronial times. Vorombeck said that he tested this over and over again. The footsteps would return every time he started the video as if the person above were watching it too. What? So if people walk around while you're watching porn, that means they have a hidden camera in your house and they're watching you too?
What are you watching that you're ashamed of? Actually, well, see, but that's me getting all in your business. How about society stop doing whatever it is you're doing? And you have a straw.
I know. I know. Yeah, for people who aren't watching video, I just spilled my drink on myself. Okay. So Russell sounded confused, but Vorombeck went on. "He'll get up from his chair and start walking down the hallway. He's watching me." And the judge said, "But you've never seen this video camera?" And Vorombeck said, "No." And the judge said, "You just kind of infer this because he moves around the apartment?" And Vorombeck said, "Yes." So, in his request for a peace order, which is like a restraining order, Hudson said he sought protection from stalking, harassment, and threats of violence. But the judge said this requires a pattern of behavior, not a single encounter.
Wait, why doesn't he just then watch your pornography with your headphones on? And you can hear funny shit, too, when you do that. You can hear him like, yes. we got too much of your leg in the shot. Sorry about that. Like, that shit be in there sometimes. It's fucking hilarious. Use your headphones, you fucking dork.
She sought to assure Vorombeck about what was happening upstairs. Hudson was simply walking around. "You're not recording him, are you?" she asked Hudson. Hudson replied, "No." In 2 months, Hudson would be gunned down in a stairwell before two witnesses. And then there was a 10-hour standoff in which police would burst through the walls into Vrombeck's apartment, arrest him, and charge him with murder. But in court, Russell had been denied his restraining order. So, yeah, so this is, right, so the white guy who's creepy, he's known to be creepy, he was stalking his ex-wife.
Yeah.
And then he's randomly came up to a neighbor and said, I know what you're doing, you knew this day would come, does the finger across the neck thing.
I know what you did last summer, I know what you did last virus.
And then the judge says, yeah, you don't need a restraining order, and then 2 months later, the dude gets shot in the chest with a gun, shotgun.
Huh, you know what? Because, you remember SARS? Wasn't that, like, a certain, like, mutation of the coronavirus?
Yeah.
Back in 2003?
Yeah.
And, yeah, someone could say that line to me, because, like, during the SARS times, I was out there battling rappers who didn't have it coming, being mean, hurting feelings, dissing MCs that didn't need to be dissed. I could see someone saying, I know what you did last virus, and then doing the throat thing at me.
Really?
And yeah, folks with the Facebook Live video, I do have a separate camera set up for Facebook Live to get a different angle, which kind of puts it on the dark side of my face. By that meaning, there is no light on that side of the room. And but I wanted to make sure that I trigger some misogynist with the Harley Quinn poster up in the background. Because, holy shit, like, misogynist, like, one thing I'm noticing in particular, and because I had 11 days off work, I had time, when I would see an advertisement saying, like, oh, you can get the Harley Quinn movie on DVD or the Blu-ray, the comment section was mostly men looking pretty much over 30.
Yeah.
All talking about how much you just can't stand a movie. And then they even, like, they try to make their misogyny sound nuanced. It's like, I don't know. I just couldn't get into it.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe, you know, maybe it's something wrong with the whole genre. Really? So you all of a sudden don't like none of these fucking comic book films? You goofy looking prick?
Yep.
No. And Dr. Mo, I could feel the energy coming off the screen, said, yes, 11 days, yay. And when we say Dr. Mo in the comment section, that is a real general practitioner that has been on the program. Telling us what nots and what have you. Said, yes. I need to eat more fruit.
Yes.
And something. I think I'm supposed to get colonoscopized.
Oh, yeah, you are supposed to get a colonoscopy, yes.
Yeah, pretty soon.
Yes.
When do they do that?
I think 40 is the...
Why is it that... See, that's that white man shit. See, because, like, everything be framed around the class-privileged white man.
Well, I think that's actually before white men are supposed to get one. Like, black men are supposed to get one sooner because black men are more likely to have prostate cancer than white men.
Oh, but there the fuck you go.
Yeah.
Right? Like, see? And then, but, like, what is midlife crisis? Absolutely has to be 40? Really? Exactly that number?
Yes.
I mean, Jesus Christ, what is that for, like famous entertainers that fucking peak at 27? Was their midlife crisis 31?
Yes.
Matter of fact, basically, just follow Eminem's timeline. This is a more realistic white man midlife crisis. Mo Loco said, wait, 40 if risks, 50 if no risks. And Dr. Mo said, black men need to be more careful with bowel cancer.
Yes.
Ah, so I should be eating more broccoli.
Probably, and probably get a prostate exam when you're 40.
When I'm 40?
Yes.
Or right, or as, if we go to Michigan, as soon as we land in Michigan, just kind of run up in a doctor's office and be like, I don't know what you planned on doing today.
You can also do that.
But,
yeah, you might have to transfer your health insurance and shit over, too.
Maybe. Ah, that's fucking whack.
Maybe, yeah.
Oh, man, let me just go in the doctor's office, just get in there, do a little deep sea diving.
You can do one before we leave. You know, figure this thing out.
I got piranhas and stuff in there. It's fucking wild.
Piranhas in there?
Yes, I do. Yeah, it's my ass. I can have piranhas in my ass.
No.
All right, folks. Anyway. Phoenix Kalita is problematic.
Yes.
And is piranha shaming.
Yes, I am piranha shaming.
And, oh, Dr. Mo said, ways to prevent bowel cancer, yes, to the prostate exam. It's not that bad. Hell, you know, I think I think that stuff tends to be homophobic men.
Yeah.
Which is a great deal of us.
Yeah.
Yeah, where it's just like, I mean, I picked my nose earlier today at some point. I know it. I mean, it's not like I remember, but guaranteed, because I'm almost 40, and that's just something that's never stopped.
Yeah.
Right? First time I picked my nose, then I remember I was 3, and my biological sister was like, ew, and I was like, yeah, but it's not in there anymore.
Oh, my God.
I've cleared out the situation. So I can pick my nose for damn near 4 decades, but I can't get a fucking licensed, educated professional to go rooting around in my bung tunnel.
I think that men are actually, like, I mean, it is the homophobia, but I think they're also, like, scared because there is the prostate there, and, like, I think a lot of men are afraid they're going to get sexually aroused because, I mean, that kind of is the male G-spot, you know?
Well, fine. That's extra service. I don't think they even make you pay for that.
They do not make you pay for that.
Yes, well, there is not I'll a, there clean is not that an, up there, tough guy.
There is not an upcharge for the prostate stimulation. Yes. Oh, yeah. Mo says, more reefer, less alcohol, and less red meat.
You're hating. Dr. Mo said reefer doobies.
She did say reefer doobies.
Which is how we talk.
That's how you talk. I don't not say like, reefer doobies.
Why not?
Because I say weed.
Oh, God, that sounds... it sounds bad. Like, I think growing up as a kid, like, I heard too many uncool adults say weed and that Jon Stewart scene in Half-Baked on weed.
Say weed, man. I don't know. Right. Yeah, anyways, okay, so back to the Tyreek Hudson case. So that was a sort of a background of the case. Now here's the update. The man who shot him is pleading not guilty because at the time of the alleged offense, he was not responsible for criminal conduct due to mental disease or disorder. So basically, he's taking an insanity plea and saying that it's not his fault he shot his neighbor in the chest with a shotgun. Yeah.
The self-induced ableism.
Yep. And so they're saying that he's schizophrenic, and so that's, like, why they're going to go with this defense. But, yeah, I tend to think that he still probably knew it was wrong to murder somebody. So, yeah. We'll see what happens.
All right. Let me go ahead and do a little flip-de-doo here. WineCellarMedia.com.
This show is fucked up.
I mean, Jesus was a white man, too. But, you know, it's like...
Crack this on open.
Yes.
And I got this one from the folks over there at Fury, Feminist Uprising to Resist Inequality and Exploitation. Mm-hmm. And I have the chat space open to you right there, Fetus Kalitor. Just so you could see that, just in case. So I got this from Chelsea Springler, representative of Fury, and they are getting free masks out to folks. Oh, shit, and somebody else tagged me in something getting masks out. I think I was a little too heavily complimented. got to link up with those folks. It's just that they caught me, right when it was, like, shower time.
Oh, okay.
Which can be a lot of my day. All right. So this one comes up. This appears to be coming from PBS, but it's WTTW.
Chicago.
Okay. Is that what do those letters stand for?
Don't know.
but you know that's because you grew up here.
Yeah, well, because that's, like, the public station. Like, that's what, Mr. Rogers and Sesame Street and shit was on. And then, like, at nighttime, they would have, like, in the afternoon, they have, like, all the cooking shows, like Julia Childs, and then at nighttime, they would have, like, BBC shows, you know?
Oh, British Broadcasting Corporation.
So it was, like, some government-funded channel of some sort. Yeah, WTTW Chicago.
Okay, socialist TV.
Yes.
This article's up by Heather Sharon.
Mm-hmm.
And it's from the 15th, and right now today is, there are 58 minutes left in it being the 18th. And a city is set to cancel rent for airports, stores, restaurants, so airport stores, right? They're basically, the airport is the large privately owned space, and then the airport store is the individual small business renting a certain amount of square feet in that space.
Mm-hmm.
All right. We see this with shopping malls and flea markets, like that person that just has some rugs and candles mm-hmm. set up. Like, they're fucking paying to use that little block of space.
Right.
You know? All right. So that's a rent they pay. So that rent is getting canceled from airport stores. Restaurants, I'm guessing that's also in the airport. It's just they put a comma in the next word. Mm. And the rental car companies, I didn't know they were also renting their space. So they're literally renting so they can rent.
Yep.
God damn. And when you gotta think, if so many people are renting and leasing, doesn't that mean there's incredibly few actual owners?
Yep.
Which means there's more of us than them.
Mm-hmm.
It's real easy to kick their ass with, like, think about it. If you think that you are physically weak, and you might be. You might be a person that's just not strong, right?
Yeah.
Remember that there's more of us than them.
Yes.
And, like, hey, I might run up and punch the oppressor 15 times, you know, wear him down. And then if you over there who's physically weak and has never kicked an ass before, come and get a punch in. Come on. Yeah. I wore him down. Get involved.
Tag team.
Yeah.
Teamwork.
All right.
Makes the dream work.
Each their ability and whatnot.
Yes, to each their ability.
Yeah. My ability was 15 punches. Yours was do whatever you want with the fucker limping around after I, you know.
And this is why we keep getting banned from YouTube.
Oh, no, that's all satire. This is a parody of Bernie Bros. I can't stand them.
Woo. Woo. Oh. Bernie Bros, yeah, wow.
We
terrible.
Didn't have to do the woo at the same time. Fucking Antifa Bernie. Ugh. Burn Tifa. All right, so this article is up by Heather Sharon, and they're talking about the O'Hare International,
yeah.
An old airport.
Yes.
And the Midway. I don't know if that's International.
Yes.
International Airport. And they are deserted right now because folks are like, I don't want to die in the sky. And the airports, they're deserted amid coronavirus pandemic. I know everyone's surprised by that. So the City Council Aviation Committee... I guess you do have to have a committee for that.
You do have to have a committee for that.
Jesus fucking Christ. But the City Council's Aviation Committee unanimously voted the measure, which the Aviation Commissioner, which is a person you have to have,
yes.
Jamie Hree, and that spelling of Jamie, to my understanding, looks femme. So, no?
I think that could be either. I've seen that one go either way that way.
Oh, that Jamie is a... So that's non-binary spelling. Yes. Okay, so we don't know if we have, to our understanding, femme representation and leadership or not here. It is a blue state, so as long as it's corporate, everybody can be a sellout. Jamie Ree said was this was needed to help businesses that were not eligible for federal help.
Oh,
this is what the fuck I was talking about.
Appears to be a cis woman.
Okay, so Jamie Ree, R-H-E-E?
Yes.
All right, Jamie Ree, cis woman, representing. And, yeah, this is what I was talking about. Like, fucking, like, the states that have the budget, take care of your fucking state residents.
Yeah.
Like, don't wait for the fucking Fed. Fuck them. And then after you take care of your state residents, fucking bombard. Call MSNBC. Call CNN. Tweet at them and brag about it. Brag on it. Mm-hmm. I'll go on it. I'll be the bragging test study. I'll come up with my fucking receipt with the fucking, guess what, nigga just paid his rent on time because I live in a blue state, unlike y'all niggas with y'all freedom. You know, like,
yes.
Fuck them. Like, because the red states can't fucking do it.
Yeah.
They ain't got no fucking paper. They don't produce shit. Those red states, they be pretending they're all farmers.
Yeah, they're not.
Ain't nobody getting no goddamn big plate of spinach from Alabama.
Well, even the, places that have, like, a lot of farms, they're fucking corporate farms. They're not, like, the stereotypical, like, the family farm that's been in, you know, it's been in our family tree for the last 100 years. Like, those are not nearly as prominent as they used to be. They're all fucking corporate farms anyway.
Yeah, and obviously, like, there's the coastal factor, because they're going to have all the import-export from, California's fifth largest economy in the world. Mm-hmm. They got that walnut and cashew money, kind of fucking up the water supply, but they've got that, walnut and cashew money.
Yes.
They've got, obviously, the Hollywood money.
Yeah.
Right? The travel, because people don't just travel. There's so many places in California that I guarantee you people just travel to just to go there, right? I mean, Los Angeles, San Francisco.
That's what kind of like Napa Valley is known for, wine country. Shit. People go on those fucking wine tours and shit.
Yeah. California's fucking ballin'. Oregon has import-export, mm-hmm. and then Washington State, big-time import-export, and then we got Canada right there. We're trading shit with them, mm-hmm. and we can... I don't know if they can legally trade the reefer yet. No, because it's still federal Schedule 1.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, man, fucking, and then look at the exact same thing up and down the East Coast.
Yep.
Texas, I don't know what the fuck they're making out in Texas.
Oil.
Oh, Texas got oil money. But Texas ain't gonna take care of their, because Texas, they're like, their culture is too bootlicker of a culture.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, they can actually tell, they'll actually turn to their residents and be like, y'all don't want this money because y'all love work. Hell yeah, we does, massa. That's how the white people out there talk. They're fucking bootlickers. I'm not sure
that it is. Uh-huh. And of course, Chicago's right on the Great Lakes, so they have their own import-export thing going on.
No shit.
Yeah.
See?
Yeah, that's actually why we have one of the best aquariums in the country.
Oh.
Yeah, because they just put the animals, like, they literally ship the animals in on the water.
So fucking, yeah, like,
yeah.
I mean, this here is just city council. Now, state senate. Get on it.
Yes.
Let's see. So they advanced the measure. Mm-hmm. The measure, which is scheduled to be approved Wednesday, and this was on the 15th. Oh, damn. So that's coming up, right? Tomorrow's Tuesday, the 9th. So on the 20th, it should be approved, up and running.
Okay.
And it will include relief for advertising companies. God damn! Is there anything more capitalism than fucking government relief for adver-fucking-tizing companies?
Who else is going to tell consumers what they want to buy?
Holy shit.
We have to tell consumers what they want to buy.
Oh, and welcome to the 1996 Telecommunications Act, Clear Channel.
Yes.
I don't know who Jay-Z Dassault is. It's a letter J, letter C, and then it looks like a French word.
Yeah.
D-E-C-A-U-X.
Dassault.
Oh, I said Dassault. Dassault? Yes.
Looks like a company.
I like that. I like that. That was a thank you, Captain Obvious moment right there.
Yeah, because like I Google it, all I see is like stock prices. And I was like, what the... Yeah, Mo said I only try to lick boots that help good causes. What the fuck is...
And, what this, Boingo Wireless? I don't know who the fuck...
Oh, it's a French advertising company. There you go.
Jesus Christ. So they said advertising companies... Wait, does Clear Channel count as one? I thought Clear Channel was radio.
Yeah, I thought so too.
But, you know, I guess the radio can advertise.
Well, do they probably buy ads on Clear Channel, JC do so, or however the fuck you say it.
Okay, and then the Boingo Wireless, which provides internet service at O'Hare and Midway. Businesses that accept the help would have to agree not to fire any of their employees. And that was a statement delivered directly and unequivocally by Jamie Ree. And also adding that she would personally hold the companies responsible for complying with the requirement. And in addition to the 2-month rent waiver for stores and restaurants inside the terminals, businesses would not have to pay the city rent based on a percentage of their sales or a minimum amount based on their receipts from the previous year, whichever is greater. All right, now bail out the people.
No.
Bail the shit out of the people. And stop making us produce stuff that doesn't matter. All right, folks? I just spent 8 fucking hours. Oh, wait, no. Today was a nine-hour day. Yeah. It's Monday. Monday's a nine. Mm-hmm. Making sure that for Halloween, there's plenty of Sour Patch Kids.
Yes.
All right, let's see. I had, and I had three machines running on my side of the room. Two of them at 80 a minute. Mm-hmm. So that's 160 a minute. And then the other one at 75 a minute. So it's basically take the 240 and subtract 5. 235 pouches of 15 grams of Sour Patch Kids a minute for 8 hours, sometimes stopping to make machine modifications. And for Halloween, this is the essential work. This is why I kind of chuckle at that essential worker shit.
Yeah.
We don't need that. I don't even, believe it or not, folks, I was once a child. I didn't even want Sour Patch. What kind of shitty ass gaslighting product is that? Oh, it's candy. Awesome. What the fuck?
It's called Sour Patch.
Yeah, that's how I learned the word sour. Not a good experience, Miss Colored Ma'am.
You hate Lovin' Heads too?
Fuck the damn yeah. But then also, then there's this part. The older kids, the older and wiser, you know, seven-year-old, they say, oh no, you gotta get through that part to get to the sweet part.
Yeah, you do.
So you get another one, and you tough it out, and then you get there, and it's like, candy shouldn't be like this. Fuck Sour Patch, why does it exist? And it's for Hallow-fuck-ween. We live in coronial times, folks.
Yes.
Halloween is not going to pop. So you know what's going to happen to these Sour Patch that don't move off the Walmart shelves? Then they're going to go to the Family Dollar shelves. Then they're going to go to the fucking Dollar Tree shelves. Mm-hmm. And then they're either going to go in the garbage or get given the fuck away.
Go to a food pantry.
Oh, fuck. And then they're going to go to the food pantry. Who goes to the food pantry? Po' folk. And what do you have from the food pantry? Bunch of fucking candy from Halloween.
Candy in box shit.
But then also, after having all that candy, you can't afford to go to the dentist.
Yep.
And then when your teeth look like that, society takes you less serious, harder to get a job, harder to get a promotion, and then your offspring that you eventually have, because you can't get an abortion either.
Nope.
Fuck that. Now they can they grow up in poverty, and I don't know if you know this about poverty, hard to get out of it.
Cycles.
Yep. Capitalism. Where do I get on this shit? That's right. They're canceling rent for corporations. Yeah. Yeah, there we go. This is why I end up only doing like three stories.
Yes.
And so we continue on with the article by Heather Sharon for PBS Chicago, you said.
Yes, WTTW Chicago.
For WTTW Chicago. Mm-hmm. Continuing forward, in addition to the two-month rent waiver, based on those payments would be deferred. All right, deferred. Kind of like bone spur payments with no interest until sales over 75%, until sales recover to 75% of last year.
Nice.
Yeah, that seems that looks like, legit to you.
I would like a rent deferral for working class people.
Hey, I get it's like, and yeah, I hate the land leeches, but the only way you're going to get it is if they give it to the land leeches.
Yeah.
Like they have to be like, land leeches don't have to pay mortgage for a long time. Mm-hmm. All right, let's see. Rental car company. Oh, wait. Reese said the deferral could last up to 3 years.
Hmm.
Holy shit. So if you get less than 75% on your sales, then you just get that deal for the next year.
Yep.
Up until 2023.
Yep.
There is some motherfucker out there that's going to see their shit getting to like 65% and be like, oh, I fucked up the inventory.
Oh, fuck yeah.
Ah, man. Rental car companies at the O'Hare and Midway International airports would not pay the city-based rent for 3 months, which would be retroactive to April and run through June. Retroactive, that means you got to pay the back money?
No, it would apply for the, like, you don't have to pay from April through June. Like, you would get refunded if you paid April.
Oh, no shit.
Yeah.
Fuck the damn. All right. Sales at O'Hare are running at approximately 30 motherfuck percent of normal operations and 10% at Midway. These are the two airports, folks. Midway saw a number of flights canceled after a cluster of cases of the coronavirus virus at the control tower in the early days of the pandemic. Ree said the volume of travelers at the O'Hare and Midway Airport has increased during the past several weeks, a signal that sales could rebound once stay-at-home orders are lifted. And okay. Hopping to the end of Heather Sharone, who you can see on the Twitter, at Heather Sharone.
Mm-hmm.
Let me check that. That audio just came in kind of hot. I was like, God damn, fucking aftermath beats. An alderman balked at giving Ms. Ree that authority. Aldermen were not too fond of this here Jamie Ree woman having the authority, forcing the mayor to scale back the ordinance and follow normal city council processes. Ultimately, the city council approved the scale back emergency powers ordinance on a vote of 29-21 in April.
Okay.
All right, so that is one of those many things that's always going on. WineCellarMedia.motherfucking.com.
Father Teresa's Wine Cellar is rated R for keeping it real.
Poop transition between segmentes. I can even do it on the video. Boom, blam. I can just do that. And then just pop, boom. On the last computer, that shit did not happen that fast at all. That is ridiculous.
Yes.
All right. William J. Jackson had things and stuff up and out there. And oh yeah, jogger. There are white supremacists out there using the word jogger in place of nigger.
Oh, fun.
So yeah, so if you're out and about and you hear someone like jokingly saying like, oh, this jogger over here or that jogger there, you could you know, just turn to him and just be like, I mean, you know, be like, hey, why do you hate the First Amendment? Why do you hate freedom of speech? Just say the words you really want to say.
Oh.
Come on, snowflake. Gun it in.
Damn, I wish we had that Delroy Lindo audio now.
Man, I have not done good soundboard work as of Reese. Intly. And so yeah, but that is up on vice.com. There isn't really much to it. They made a whole article for this. It really should have been a tweet,
yeah,
or just a headline with a picture,
right?
You know, and they have a screenshot of 4chan because 4chan is 4chan,
right?
And yeah, so that's going on. Folks are out there using jogger in place of nigger because it's funny, because oppression is always sadistic.
Yep.
Now a couple, I don't want to use the word friends, all right? Don't want to just go throwing that word out there, but I knew folks, you know, that got blasted on in Orlando, Florida at the Pulse nightclub.
Yeah.
Massacre. Jesus Christ, what, 49, right?
I don't remember exactly how many.
Yeah, 49 victims, but you gotta watch those fucking headlines because they'll say 50 people died. That 50th was the murderer killing himself. Yeah, that's the 50th. So 49 victims. And, shit, it's over there on the cork board. But I do have, like, a small little poster of hashtag Orlando. And my biological niece gave it to me out of the newspaper after the Pulse nightclub. And I remember that shit, yo. Like, I mean, I wasn't there. I don't go to dance clubs. But, like, I do my laundry way early. You know, like, back when we had an option to just do that.
Yes.
And, and fucking, I'm up doing my laundry, you know, at like 3 a.m., 4 a.m. Mm-hmm. And I just fucking start getting the damn notifications.
Yeah.
And it was just like, oh, you know, like 9 people injured, you know, 11 people injured, 5 people dead. And it just kept coming. And I was like, what the fuck is happening?
Yeah.
You know, and that shit, it went down. And I remember, man, like maybe like 2 or 3 weeks before that, some cat that is, you know, a person who was self-awarely ignorant was asking me about the election and politics. And I was like, you know, there's the Electoral College, so we don't get that much of a say anyway, you know, but if there is some big fucking murder event, terrorist attack or some sort, then that's going to give Trumpel-Stiltskin the edge, especially if they can be tied to religion, Muslim.
Yeah.
And then that fucking happened.
Yep.
And then I was like, ooh, a whole lot of my Hillary got it in the bag predictions.
Yeah.
But then again, but I knew I had already said that. So it was like, all right, here it comes. And so that went down and all those folks. Yeah, I don't want to just say the word friends. I don't hang out with folks that heavily, but I knew niggas that were murdered there. And now this is, coming off of clickorlando.com, Pulse Memorial Mural, which is hard to say fast, but it's Pulse Memorial Mural vandalized with white supremacist stickers. Oh, yeah, and there it is in the subheading. Yes, shooting left 49 people dead. And I don't have a journalist here. It just says Click Orlando. So the mural is dedicated to the victims of the 2016 massacre at Pulse Nightclub, and it was vandalized with white supremacist stickers. The mural is located outside of the center, an Orlando LGBTQ advocacy organization. And that's the center is the name of the org. And there is a quote here.
Ooh, excuse. Oh.
Yes.
Excuse me. It is 11:24 p.m. I am a little yawnsy. Our phone has been down since yesterday in Orlando due to vandalism. We apologize for any inconvenience. We are still here to serve our community. We hope to have our phone lines restored tomorrow. Thank you for your patience. And that was the note that they put up on the Facebook. The center also confirmed to News 6 in an email, additionally, that white supremacy stickers were found on the building. Quote, we are actively updating our security to include the sidewalk and front of the building to deter any future acts of vandalism, the center executive director George Wallace, a very popular first and last name in America, director George Wallace wrote, we want to promote that love always wins. All right. And then there isn't really much more to the story. Yeah. Like there's vandalism. And I think, I want to call that shit terrorism.
I think that's accurate.
You know, like you're going up to a place that's representing folks that, a mural that's representing folks that were murdered, and you're going to put up stickers representing a murderous gangbang affiliation.
Yeah.
Like, that's terrorism.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, the idea, because everything is politicized, everything is political. And so if you're doing that to terrify people to meet your political end of, I guess you want all gay people to not exist or just be closeted indefinitely.
Yeah.
Then that's your political ends. This is your means to get to it. You are a fucking terrorist.
Yep. I agree.
Yeah, I know.
Well, I mean, because that is a lot of white supremacy, too, is like the focus on like it's this heteropatriarchal, like, family and societal structure, right? So they don't want to have gay people because that is, you know, like, just fucking with what they perceive to be the family. Did you need a charger?
Yeah.
A family, like, what is the, family values, right? So they're like, oh, it's unnatural, and it's, like, some liberal Marxist whatever, blah, 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 and that's, like, what's making gay people, and it's, like, anti-God and anti, you know, Western values, which is, like, I'm pretty sure the Greeks and Romans were known for a lot of gay activity, but all right.
That shit suddenly that they call cultural Marxism.
Yep. Yeah, like, but suddenly, you know, whatever. Suddenly being gay is bad, so.
But the and cultural Marxism, just that language, I don't need to read the history of it. I get exactly what the fuck that is. Cultural, okay. You're throwing Marxism at it? Nigga, what?
Yeah.
Marx was, that's not a humanities discussion, but you know that saying Marxism makes your target audience think socialism, communism, gotta be bad.
Gotta be bad.
Now, if you are deliberately using the word Marx as a root word before you have a prefix or suffix, if you're using Marx to tell your target audience that whatever you're talking about after that is bad, that is, by defa-fucking-nition, political correctness.
Yeah.
But people keep thinking, like, political correctness is this fucking left-wing, progressive college campus thing. No, political correctness is merely a rhetorical device that one may choose to use or not. Like, folks that are looking at the camera, you might see that we have things up here that say sex work this and sex work that. We don't say, come on, get down with the prostitution.
Right.
We don't say, get on down with the hookertivities.
The hookertivity, no. I like that.
We say, ah, oh, shit, that's going to be a thing.
That's fun. Hookertivities, I'm about that.
But the, but we say sex work because we're going at our target audience. And also, that's part of why I don't really promote the podcast much. I like for people to find the podcast via search terms, right? So if you're looking for sex workers' rights, you're going to find the right program. You're looking for Sea Level Rise. You got plenty of coverage last year. And I think with the sort of torrential rains we're seeing, there's going to be more coverage on climate change, sea level rise, and whatnot this here year.
Yeah.
Well, even though we live in coronial times.
We do. I like this. In contemporary usage, the term cultural Marxism refers to a far-right anti-Semitic conspiracy theory which claims that the Frankfurt School is part of an ongoing academic and intellectual effort to undermine and destroy Western culture and values. According to the conspiracy theory, which emerged in the late 1990s, the Frankfurt School and other Marxist theorists were part of a conspiracy to attack Western society by undermining traditionalist conservatism and Christianity using the 1960s counterculture, multiculturalism, progressive politics, and political correctness. Conspiracy theories associated with religious fundamentalists and paleo-conservatives, such as William S. Lind, Pat Buchanan, and Paul Weyrich, but also holds currency among white nationalists and neo-Nazi organizations. Let's see. They considered a coalition of blacks, students, feminist women, and homosexuals as the vanguard of the Cultural Revolution.
I like how all these people are different. Goddamn, we got niggers and students. God damn. Wait till they find out that some of them niggers is students. And then what were the other people?
Feminist women.
So basically, students, niggers, and feminist women are different. Because you know how in the 60s, 70s, and 80s, women were just finding feminism in so many places other than academia. Yeah, that's what was going on. Who else?
Homosexuals.
Homosexuals.
Mm-hmm.
Because neither the nigger, nor the feminist, nor the student is also, or could be, a homosexual.
Well, yeah, and also trans people don't exist.
Well, no. Well, no, not yet. Not yet. For this language. No, we didn't figure that one out yet. Oh, Jesus Christ, everything is bad.
Yes.
Nobody's making sense.
But cultural Marxism is a term that has real meaning. The idea of cultural Marxism is derived from Marx's theory of history as it evolved through the discipline of history by Marxist historians. All right. The pre-Marxian Christian philosophy of history, for example, offered stages of sinless bliss to wicked suffering and finally Christian salvation. Yeah, this is really just about fucking atheists is what this is about.
And
yeah.
I disagree with the existence of Marxist historians.
Yeah.
Wasn't can somebody tell me what Karl Marx got implemented?
A book?
Policy?
Das Kapital. It's a book.
Policy?
The book, William.
Legislation.
The Bible is also a book. You see the impact that's had on policy? That book is dangerous.
So in essence, like, I know you can't have people be like, oh, you can't judge it by today's standards, but nigga, Marx was a blogger. He was a blogger of his time.
He kind of was.
Yeah. He was the nigga on Twitter that had the hot takes. It's what that was.
Yeah.
You know, and it's like, you know what? Appreciate the hot takes and move it forward, but you don't actually have anything institutionalized that is indeed Marx, that Marx did Marx self, or with Engels, and Engels was a swerf.
Yes.
All right. Let me go ahead and flip the skibby dibby do. WineCellarMedia.com.
We do know from Chris Parker's research at the University of Washington that people who identify with the Tea Party do have a greater amount of racial resentment. I happen to agree with Schiller that your comments were bigoted. I think that if I were to say that I clutch my purse every time I walk by a black man, that might resonate with a lot of Americans. It might be their truth, but it's a bigoted statement.
Yo, thanks just ain't the same for hustlers. But Kane don't budge, I remain with clusters. Rain and thunder with pains above you. With your brain on drugs like I flamed and puffed you. I came to rearrange the structure. No criminal, no gangster thugster. Flow cynical, so vain and vicious. Cold winter flow, no games enlisted. This is my eviction list. Evilistic slid and I shifted clicks. And I give you the biz if you're interested. Nothing to hide but back tax, I'm hitting licks. Don't know if a mathematic or intricate. Don't know if you're asthmatic, so hit the split. Don't know if you've seen or you witnessed it. Don't know if...
Bang, and the next one keeps on a running.
Nice.
Just like that there, neighbor. All right. What the hell is going on here? Now listen here, folks.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I'm not saying that this is a good news program.
Okay.
All right.
Okay.
And you know what? It is. There is a shittiness to it, right? And so this article is up by Pritha Paul on Mia.com. All right. Not an outlet I've ever seen before.
Yeah, I don't know that one.
But there's an individual that goes by the name of Robert Birmingham.
Okay.
All right. Burmingham.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So his name is Robert B. And he was the Arkansas blue light rapist.
Ooh.
Who posed as a cop to rape women. Now, I see these a lot, folks. Because remember, I still have the same... Google news settings,
right,
where I look at rapist cop stories all the time, and very common city to city, state to state, nation to nation, are cis men posing as cops and raping people, which if anything, that already tells you that people know what the fuck the cops can just do.
Yep.
All right. And so this motherfucker was out there doing that. We're in Little Rock, Arkansas, right? This is the infamous blue light rapist, pretended to be a police feller, and raped, to our understanding, cis female victims. And, well, this person made it all the way up to age 54. And they were... And remember, okay, hey, all you, you folks out there, all you misogynists, who regularly tune into this program. Here you got one. It actually sounds like what the misogynists pretend exist. Serving a life sentence for rape.
Whew.
Yeah. I've literally never seen those words before in my fucking life. I'm sure that there were other charges that got that. I bet the impersonating a cop is the real reason.
Probably.
Yeah, like you want to rape people as a cop, just get hired.
Or who he raped.
Oh, maybe,
somebody's daughter, somebody of importance, their daughter, something.
Femininity that matters.
Yeah.
Not that disposable femininity.
Right.
All right. So, and while he's serving this life sentence, he gone done upped and died on the 13th, 5 days ago before recording this. And the Arkansas Department of Corrections spokesperson, Solomon Graves, confirmed this last week. According to his death certificate, dead fucker, the inmate died from acute hypoxic respiratory failure.
Oh, that's so fun.
It's a viral pneumonia secondary to coronavirus.
But also hypoxic, that means he literally, like, couldn't breathe, and that's how he died. Like, he spent his, like, last time on Earth, like, not being able to fucking breathe, and I kind of fucking love it.
Oh, no. Oh, no, Robert Cunningham. Is that, was he like the man in Staten Island? I can't breathe. I can't. Is that how you died? You
yes.
fucking rapist yes. piece of shit. I can't breathe. I
yes.
can't. Ha! Yeah. Mm-hmm. You know what I would have did? I'd have been like, oh, man, you need some help? Do you need me to help you right now? Maybe I can help. What can I help with? Here, let me help. Am I helping yet? I'm helping, right? I'm the most helpiest helper that's ever helped anyone before. Spit just flew out my mouth. All right. I'm getting a little too into this segment. I done got a little juicy faced.
Juicy faced.
Yeah, man. I'm dripping. So, yes. Enjoy that. I will put the link up. And to me, that's just dope. So, rapists do indeed continue to make great fertilizer.
Yes.
And this one looks well fed too.
He does.
Maybe got a decent amount of flesh on him. We can grow some.
Girl.
Actually, what do you want to grow with a rapist flesh?
I just thought of that.
I was like, I don't want to eat strawberries.
Like, yeah, like nothing I want to eat, but I don't know, maybe like just like trees in general or something.
Oh.
Yeah, just yeah. Like pine trees or something.
The branches of justice.
The branches of justice.
See, folks, make me Emperor William. We start a program. We'll institute it immediately. This one is a straight up executive order. Sign it, implement it immediately. Branches of justice, where we kill rapists,
mm-hmm.
get our videos removed from YouTube.
Yes.
And then we put the rapist body in the ground
uh-huh.
and put tree seeds over it.
Yeah.
And we grow branches of justice and we use the dead rapists to start reversing climate change. What say you?
I think that we should do that. Or like you've seen the things where they've been like kind of toying with the idea instead of cremating people. It's sort of like a big Jiffy Pod. You put a person in and you just...
I have.
Yeah, like that. Just fucking... I mean, we could even do it while they're alive, really. Like, just saying, like, nothing of value would be lost.
As soon as you start... Oh, you're having some breathing problems.
Well.
Looks like you gotta go in your justice bag.
It is the justice bag. And you were right. It is a Class C felony to knowingly possess a blue light if the person is not a police officer, auxiliary officer, coroner, or legitimate seller of blue lights, and a Class D felony to unlawfully use the light.
Okay, so that sentence is a lie. He was not serving life for rape. He was serving life for playing fake cop.
Yeah. I mean, the rape as well, but that was not, like, the sole...
You know that if he was in there for seven months, then he already served his rape sentence.
Actually, that's funny, because he tried to apparently seek clemency after serving 8 years of his sentence and got denied.
Whew.
Yeah.
Well, maybe he should have been louder. Maybe pull more air into your lungs and express your voice. You know, with your lungs. Oh, wait, you can't breathe. Oh, no. Stupid fucking rapist. And if you like dead rapists, you can support WineCellarMedia.com. At paypal.me/PhoenixAndWilliam or sign up at patreon.com/WineCellarMediaFund. Please be as safe as possible wherever you can breathe.
I hope you're sure happy it's Tuesday in the wine cellar.
Baby, why are you trying to give me a glass? Just give me that bottle.
I hopped up the plane at LAX with a dream in my cardigan. Welcome to the of fame access, am I gonna fit in? Jumped in the cab, here I am for the first time. Look to my right and I see the Hollywood sign. This is all so crazy, everybody seems so famous. My tummy's turning and I'm feeling kinda homesick. Too much pressure and I'm nervous. That's when the taxi man turned on the radio and a Jay-Z song was up.
Let's go ahead and just throw that trigger warning back at it, just for the topic in general.
Yeah.
And it's Phoenix Kalita walked in on me reading this article before I took a nap.
Mm-hmm.
And it's on pinknews.co.uk. This is from the 17th. And yesterday for 20 more minutes. And this is the headline. The gender critical feminist movement is a cult that grooms, controls, and abuses, according to a lesbian who managed to escape. Now, are you already familiar with this?
Yes.
This same story?
Yes.
I think you said you saw another one.
I saw one that was like a dovetail to this one, because this one was about like TERFs, and somebody who was actually a sex trafficking victim had a very similar experience with SWERFs, and of course, SWERFs and TERFs are often the same people. And so the person, which I'm looking for right now, the person who was the victim of the SWERFs wrote about it, but because they wrote theirs in response to this, because they were like, oh my god, same tactics and techniques and like cult shit, and I'm looking for it right now.
Yes. This article's up by Vic Parsons, all right? Pinknews.co.uk. Wait a second.
Yes.
I have Vic Parsons up here.
Yeah.
But then it also has writer Amy.
Oh, that's the person that's in the picture.
Okay. Oh, so that's the person that escaped was Amy.
Yes.
Amy Diaz?
I don't know how to say the last name.
Yeah. Diaz? Amy. All right. So Amy Loco got up out of there. And Amy Loco, apparently, because I was reading this article earlier, so I've got some of it off the top of the head here. Mm-hmm. But, so she was, she had lost a job in marketing.
Yeah.
And was having a tough time living out of the car.
Yeah.
And she said that, they try to keep you like that, right? Because as long as you're dependent on them.
Right.
You're gonna hang around.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh, you know, that whole thing.
Yeah.
Right? Can't let the, you know, actually, don't let Britney Spears control her own money.
Yeah, yep.
That'll be the talking point for that. Or Phoenix Kalita, for that matter. Yeah, that's that bullshit. Phoenix Kalita is the older one in our relationship. Literally, yes. She's 2 years older than me.
Yes.
Has the fancy education. She can take stitches out of a person's face safely.
Yes.
And sanitary.
Yes.
Can do phlebotomy.
Yes.
Which is what I call it. And is working with SWAP organization, but I have to sign Phoenix Kalita's checks.
Yep.
No, Phoenix Kalita should have to sign for me to be able to get up and do stuff. Because I do bullshit.
Oh, incidentally, Julie Bindle, because Julie Bindle's mentioned this article. Julie Bindle saw it and now calls Pink News prick news, by the way.
They're so weird.
They are.
That's the cold game is. It's something that we're seeing as far as, like, I mean, forget about right-wingers here. We're talking about the actual left and the fake left, right? The general Democrat left.
Yeah.
And when you look back in time and it's like, oh, look at the people on the wrong side of history. They didn't think they were.
Right.
They were actually looking at, like, Julie Bindle's looking at you and me like, look at those fuckers on the wrong side of history.
Mm-hmm.
They will be remembered poorly.
Right.
And I'm looking at you like, you're so in your echo chamber, you don't see the direction that shit is going.
Right.
Like, which one was it? Was it Real Hand Flomar or Raimana Freshly? Which one of them introduced some shit in favor of sex workers?
Presley.
Raimana Freshly, fucking is in favor of sex workers' rights, right? After niggas like you kept on flexing on that Green Party nigga, mm-hmm. Jill Stein quit being a SWERF,
mm-hmm.
and Jill Stein got on board with decriminalizing sex work. And then didn't Sanders get on board?
Sanders...
Way later, though.
Yeah, he didn't officially come out in favor of decrim, but did support a bill that is designed to study the effects of cestafosta.
So, like, look at the direction that shit is going. But the SWERFs are so deep in that echo chamber. Like, I was listening to Megan Murphy's podcast,
mm-hmm.
as I tend to do. And they were talking about surrogacy.
Yeah.
Which, here, off the top of your head, real quick and fast, what do you think of surrogacy?
Like, for having offspring?
Yeah.
I mean, I don't really have an issue with it, I guess. I mean, it does tend to be women of color and poor women who sort of get roped into it. So it's sort of like, you know, gross in that aspect. But, I mean, you can make really good money doing it.
See, now, I noticed they were saying what you just said, but to them, that's just misogyny and patriarchy and harming women. And it's like, they will not say capitalism.
That's, no, it's capitalism. And the thing about that, though, is, like, in order to be a surrogate, like, you have to, like, you have to be between a certain age. You have to be in a certain weight range. You have to, like, not be a smoker, not have, you know, use drugs. Like, you have to be, like, a really physically healthy person specifically to try to minimize the possible risks of the pregnancy. So, like, it's not like... Like, yes, they are. They do tend to go after poor women or women who don't necessarily have a lot of other options, but it's also not like they're picking somebody who is struggling with, like, alcohol addiction or somebody who's already, like, you know, diabetic or has hypertension. Like, you have to be really fucking healthy to be able to do it.
They didn't say any of what you said in that whole ass episode. Yeah. And I listened to the whole episode.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, it's like, yo, y'all, like, I'm listening
and,
to...
Like, I mean, also, you can make, like, 30 grand a year doing it.
Huh.
So, I mean, if you're, you know, comfortable...
Yeah.
You know...
I swear to fuck, like, I just kept, like, yelling at the Bluetooth speaker, like, classism, motherfucker, classism. And they won't say it.
No.
Because that's not an issue to them.
Because that's the thing, though, is they don't actually want to end classism. They very much support women being oppressed financially. It's just that they want to, it's like, they want to dictate what types of work women can do. Because they don't have an issue. Because, like, if you, like, listen to their stuff, they don't really talk a lot about, like, say... like the waitress at, you know, fucking Denny's or whatever, who's getting sexually harassed all the time. How often do they talk about her? But they have a lot to say about sex work, you know, being sexually abusive, or they have a lot to say about, oh, it's just a broodmare if you're, you know, doing the surrogacy thing. But like, how often do they talk about how fucked up it was with that lean in feminism shit when, you know, women who weren't at that level were being underpaid? They don't talk about that. So yeah, they're perfectly okay with, classism. Yeah.
The goddamn fucking fuckers.
Well, I mean, and then, of course, you know, who's, when it comes to classism, who's the, you know, primary victims? It's people who were already in poverty, and it's mostly, like, non-white women, so, you know, who gives a fuck about them anyway?
Fucking swerfs and turfs. Yep. One of these days before I die, I'm gonna meet two people, one of whom is a swerf that is not a turf, and one of whom is a turf that is not a swerf.
Oh, I can show you those people.
Oh, fuck, they're real.
They're rare, but yeah, that's more of a European thing than an American thing, though.
They're always classier, even in their oppression.
Their oppression. Even yeah, in I've seen some Irish feminists who are, yeah.
Which one?
They're both, actually.
They're like, they're swerfs and not turfs?
Yeah, and turfs and not swerfs. Or, sorry. I've both ways I've seen it, where they're a swerf but not a turf, and a turf but not a swerf. Because I've seen the ones where, like, their primary focus is, like trans women in prisons, because they're like, oh, it's just a man who's going to rape all the other female inmates and, like that sort of thing. But they won't, like, be opposed to sex workers working because, like, they do have a good class praxis. So, like, they're not swerfs. They're like, oh, well, it's shitty, but, you know, you do what you have to do to survive, and I'm not going to, like... try to legislate against you for it, but they will, like, be all up in arms about trans women in women's prisons. But then, like, I've also seen ones who are very, like, okay with trans women, but they hate sex workers. And it's just, like, it's really fucking weird. It's so fucking weird. But, man. Yeah, they're definitely the minority.
It's an interesting article. There is a lot to it. Let's take a look a little bit of it. A cult that groomed her when she was vulnerable and sleeping in her car, a cult that sought to control her, keeping tabs on her movements, and dictating what she could and couldn't say, a cult that was emotionally and sexually abusive towards her, as Amy began to notice more and more red flags about the GC movement. They call that gender critical.
Yeah, which is just turf.
Yeah. The GC movement, like how it defended abusive women, how it wouldn't let lesbians speak out about sexual assault perpetrated by women, and how it was forming alliances with homophobic groups.
Yep.
She started asking questions. And last year, she began speaking out against what she saw as increasingly blatant homophobia in the gender critical movement. And yeah, I'll link this up for folks. Think it's gosh darn interesting. It is a wine cellery. But I don't want to riff too much on it because, again, I am, you know, and this isn't to be, like, self-deprecating social justice, but I am an ignorant cis person. I fucking am. So I don't riff too much. I try to make it more news and more just, like, stop oppressing folks.
Yes.
More so than trying to get into a, and this is how I would pontificate on the philosophical. Nah, nigga.
Mm-hmm.
Just stop fucking with people.
Yeah, and of course, this was Amy Dias. And then Kelly Lawrence is the person I was thinking of who has been a who's a survivor of sex trafficking, who said, after this came out, said, my experience with the prostitution abolitionist side of the movement was there, but by reading Amy Dias' story in Pink News today about her experience in the turf call, it hit home how similar our experiences was and how insidious the tactics of these people really are. The gaslighting, suppression of dissent, the skewed separatist view of the world, and the insistence there was one right view were all hallmarks of an ideological cult. Yeah. Yeah. And, like, I noticed in this one from Pink News where Amy was talking about, like, they wanted her to stay in the UK, and they were, like
oh, yeah.
Julie Bindle was gonna, like, find her a wife, and I was like, that is some fucking high-level cult shit.
Yeah.
Like, find you a wife so you can get papers and stay here and, like, be in our movement. And oddly enough, Julie Bindle's also tied to the abolitionist movement. Yeah, and this is just, like, Kelly talks about it and says that she was exploited as a survivor. This is common. Were exploited financially and emotionally, encouraged to speak for no compensation at events, repeating over and over our trauma stories with no aftercare or safeguarding in place. Our stories are then manipulated and used to push an agenda aimed to abolish sex work via the Nordic model. Yeah. Yeah, so it was, like, very similar just how the things went. And, of course, this is all very interesting, just the timing, because we just did the Swapcast, where we talked about, like, the time frame, right? So it was, like, March, anti-sex work orgs or rescue orgs were saying to ban Pornhub, and then a couple months later, the Catholic bishops came out and said, we need to crack down on porn. And then a month later, there was the article about don't let online porn subscriptions exist anymore, ban credit card companies from doing it. Right. Yeah.
So, is there anything that, like, us regular folks, right? Because, like, yeah, we have a Facebook page with that's just almost at 100,000 followers.
So close.
And but then, in general, like, I'm just some fucker with a Facebook account.
Mm-hmm.
What can I say? What can I do? Like, is there, like, to combat these folks in the free market of ideas?
Oh, God, I hate the free market of ideas. I think the biggest things is sharing words from actual sex workers and actual people who have been trafficked. Because the narratives that are being, like, the narratives that are being pushed are not actually accurate to people's life experiences, and that's why it's really interesting that they, because if you think about just on a basic level, they're like, oh, there's, you know, like 10 million people trafficked every year, and like millions of girls are trafficked in the industry, then where are they? Why aren't you finding them, and why aren't they being allowed to speak? They're not allowed to be the face of speaking for the movement, whether they've been in sex work consensually or as traffic victims, and there's a reason for that, and that's because people who are controlling the movement want to control the narratives about how harmful sex work is or how it's all abuse or how it's all paid rape. And another big thing is that they do is they say everyone who disagrees with them is actually a pimp running a fake account. So, like, all these sex workers who are on social media are all fake accounts. So just signal boost them and be like, hey, look, it's a real person. There's, like, videos of this person. There's pictures of this person. Obviously, it's a real person posting. And then just keep in mind that, you know, these orgs are claiming to be, like, radical feminist or they're claiming to be leftist, but they're very much in bed with religious organizations that hate women for the most part. Like, a lot of these organizations are also anti-abortion, they're anti-LGBTQ, they'll, like, straight up deny services if you're queer or if you're trans, they, like, will not give you, like, condoms, which is, you know, maybe kind of important to avoid pregnancy, or if you're pregnant, they will not, like, they would not take you to get an abortion. They encourage police to arrest you, they encourage deportation. You know, I think a lot of folks don't know, like, those type of things. Like, people think, like, oh, we're saving, you know, sex trafficking victims, most people don't know police can actually rape sex trafficking victims legally and then arrest them for raping them.
Yep.
And it's like, people don't know that. So it's like, you know, that sort of information of like what's really going on, I think is just important because folks don't know.
Fucking, you know, you got me thinking something, right? Like, because what, anyone they disagree with, what do they call them?
Pimp lobby.
They just call you that. And by pimp lobby, like, they're basically saying you have an agenda.
Yeah.
Right? You have something that you're trying to do.
Yeah.
Right? And right now, these days, when some liberal Democrat doesn't like you, Russian troll, Russian bot.
Yep.
So again, they're applying intent to you, something that you're trying to do, which is why they don't like you, as opposed to this is just the word we say to signal mm-hmm. to our followers that they're not supposed to like you.
Right.
But then over here on the anti-capitalist left, if you're saying some shit that's in favor of land leeches, corporations, and whatnot,
mm-hmm.
shut up, bootlicker.
Right.
Right? Or like,
right.
if you're a cop, shut up, pig.
Right.
Like, we just call you what the fuck you are. We yeah. don't gotta make up shit. I like being in the anti-capitalist left. Our echo chambers are honest.
They are. And I think that's actually something that almost should be discussed too, just because it's so fucking, like, sadistic. Because a lot of people who are in the sex trade industry have had, like, really difficult experiences in there, whether that's, like, dealing with assaults or dealing with extreme poverty or homelessness or dealing with being a victim of sex trafficking or, you know, being under a pimp. And they're like, oh, that's you. And it's like, how fucked up is it to tell somebody who's been homeless and a victim of, like, sex trafficking that they're a pimp? Like, there's a fucking level of, like, cruelty to that.
Sadism.
Yes.
Say the word, folks. We're over 1,000 episodes at this point. You should be fucking... We did our part.
Yes.
Now you say the fucking word. Next time you're at the thing in the place with the people talking about the thing and they're like... What the? Well, why would they do that?
Because they're sadists.
They're sadistic. Yes. And then pull out your smart device and be like, this is the definition. Do these things apply to what the fuck they just did?
Yep.
Huh. Yeah. Yep. Yeah. Then use that word. Like, I think that in this fucking westernized, I'd call it a Judeo-Christian culture.
Really? And, you're funny. You're funny.
That in this thing... Like, the word sadism is not too close, but close enough to Satan that people just think it's like some devil shit. Like, I think before I looked up that word.
Yeah, I think a lot of people, like, associate sadism with, like, BDSM and shit. And it's like, it doesn't have to be, like immediate sexual gratification. Like, you can just fucking enjoy hurting people. It doesn't yeah. have to be, like, some fucking, like, whips and chains and, you know, yeah. whatever. Like, you can just actually enjoy hurting people.
And on that part, there's, like, the person you're hurting consents. That's why, that's the big difference.
Right, that's why they hate BDSM. That's why they hate sexual liberation, actually, and sexual freedom, honestly. Because, yeah. like, we don't want you to consent to being hurt by us. But, you know, and I mean, it's on so many levels with the fucking antis, with the whole anti-trafficking movement. Like, one of the big things is they'll say, all sex work is paid rape. And it's like, yeah. but people have actually been raped. And you're telling them that, like... a brutal, like, gang rape that they suffered is the same thing as a consensual sexual encounter that they got paid for? Like, that's kind of fucked up.
See, and that's that bullshit. Like, and that's why they won't want that person there.
Yeah, exactly.
Guaranteed.
Oh, yeah.
And a rape victim cannot be in the room while they're talking mm-hmm. and also have access to a microphone. They can't be on a panel with you.
Yep.
And that's, see, but watch people like that. People who can't say the same shit on a loudspeaker with someone else next to them with a loudspeaker, if they can only say it in their fucking shitty basement meetings,
mm-hmm.
they're shit. I say all my shit publicly. Who's gonna come after me for saying that we should kill rapists? Go ahead, come on, beef with me. Ooh, you're gonna make me real ashamed of my ideas. What, right. are you shitting me?
Right.
Like, no, I'm very happy about everything. I'll say it to everybody in every space the exact same way, right? And this is this is only a claim I can make because it's not like I have video evidence, but when I'm in employee engagement committee meetings and safety committee meetings at work, I don't say the workers or the people on the floor. I say the proletariat every time in those meetings.
Love it.
Because I don't run away from my shit. I am this. Them niggas, they are that, but they know it's shit. Mm-hmm. That's, you're dealing with people that know their fuck faces.
Yep.
All right? And Stacey Abrams is a very incompetent member of the Black Miss leadership class. All right?
Yes.
And that's all you need to know.
That's all you need to
know. It's 12 a.m.
Yes.
God damn it.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, but just the last thing I was going to say, though, is that, just sort of, going with what you were talking about, that is actually really accurate, because that's the way that they've formed their propaganda. Everybody online who disagrees with them, who has been in sex work or is currently a sex worker, is a pimp lobbyist, right? Or they're a fake account, or it's their pimp is running their account for them, saying, typing these things, tweeting for them, right? And then when it comes to their actual events where they host things, people who are in sex work are not allowed to be there. The only people who are allowed to be there are people who have really traumatizing stories about being sex trafficked. And that is intentionally done to try to move the narrative. And so then anytime somebody speaks up against it, it's like, oh, but you're pimp lobby, you don't count. Oh, but you're lying. Oh, but you're pimp, that you're a pimp tweeting this. And your girls are locked up in a basement somewhere type shit. And it's just a very intentional, disingenuous maneuver. And I fucking hate it.
Yeah, fucking hate it. People like that, I mean... Gee, I wonder... Yeah, see, this is how we get kicked off YouTube. No, yeah. But there's a solve.
There is. One of the biggest ones, do you remember, I think it was Babe Colate was the YouTube channel?
They follow us.
Yes. That person is an undocumented sex worker, and they were actually set to speak at a panel. And literally, when they were ready to show up, the panel, put them out and said, well, we didn't realize you don't have papers, and we don't want to be accused of committing a crime, so you can't be here because you don't have papers. And that was how they got her, off this fucking panel to talk about their experiences in sex work. And it was, just the grimiest fucking shit. We can't be in the room with you because you're a criminal, because you're undocumented. Ugh. But, yeah, but pro-women. Pro-women, though. Very concerned about marginalized women and exploited women. But we can't be in the same room with you because you're a criminal, because you don't have papers. But, they fucking care.
But then those same people would turn around and be like, oh, we're voting for the Democrats because they support these undocumented workers.
We vote for Democrats because they support abortion and women should have control over their bodies. Unless they've ever been engaged in sex work, in which case they don't actually know what rape is and we need to make choices for them.
Yeah, there's really only one solve. There's only one solve. And I'd like for this video to stay up on YouTube.
Yes, I would like to think of it as self-defense because remember, the RAFMs already came out and said... Once the war on patriarchy is won, sex workers need to be lined up and shot. Line them up against a wall and shoot them for being accomplices.
Oh, yeah. And you see how they're winning that war on patriarchy by Joe Biden.
By working with the Catholic Church.
Working with the Catholic Church by pushing Joe Biden. Mm-hmm. By revitalizing Barry Hussein.
Mm-hmm.
By dancing for Mayor Pete.
Yes.
Oh, that's... I never said those words out loud like that before. Mm-hmm. What kind of bootlicker are you that you danced for Mayor Pete?
And it was a terrible dance.
It's a terrible dance if you dance. If you dance for a politician, fuck it. You've actually graduated from bootlicker. I don't even know what you do. Are you fucking kneecap deep throater? I don't know what the fuck you're doing. All right, this is some kind of tangent. Way off topic. It is 12:03 a.m.
Yes.
And so, winecellarmedia.com. If you like supporting us in acceleration year, patreon.com/winecellarmediafund, where you can sign up. It is not a tiered system.
Mm-hmm.
And paypal.me/phoenixandwilliam if you want to dip over with a tip, soldier. Or whatever the fuck. Alright? And acceleration, right? I will stay up late and exhaust myself doing these things. And Chelsea Springler could not make it on the program, has a comrade Fluffy Snuggles. Their cat died. 18-year-old cat, if I remember right. I think I read the post. And then also they have things are generally not going well. This is not the week for the Springler. Mm-hmm. All right. But they plan to come back next week, and they're going to start during Talk Fury, the feminist uprising to resist inequality and exploitation. And Talk Fury will be once a week, and Wine Cellar Media is actually hiring them for what we can afford. do the program. But I did present what the pay would be, and they were like, well, fucking shit, yeah.
Okay.
We're just like, and you know, I tend to forget, yeah, we marginalized folks. We're like, look, I guess I would have popped up too. Like, nigga, what? To say shit that I already think? Unedited.
Unedited.
Oh, I'm on. Unedited, so, yes. Yeah, so, and then what we don't know yet is like if I'm paying the Springler directly or paying to Fury. But however, it's gonna, yeah, the wine, if you support the Wine Cellar Media, you are already supporting new voices coming in. And yes, it's dope. And also with that camera angle to get the Harley Quinn poster, you can probably see that we have fabric there on the table.
Yes.
And sewing that machine. And that fabric came in from a comrade. Can you grab that box? Now we're just showing video. I can actually stop the audio recording. All right, podcast listeners. So yeah, on that